This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is obviously not an easy decision for any of the parties involved to come to. You will not hear me, nor do I suspect anyone with the organization, to share with you anything negative about Ricky Renteria in terms of factors in this decision. We've had conversations, Ricky and I, Jerry and Ricky, Kenny and Ricky, for literally years about how the final stages of this will go. And over the last few months and weeks, Ricky and I have had very candid conversations about where we're at as an organization and what we need to do to get to the next level. And again, we mutually decided that now was the right time to make the change in that position.
No, not buying it. None of that makes any sense to me. They're talking about how for years and years they're all talking about when he's going to get fired and how he's going to get fired. No, not buying it. Top of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. Jason Benetti joins us now. He is on Twitter at Jason Benetti. He is the voice of the White Sox on NBC Sports Chicago. Jason Benetti, hello. How are you?
Danny, sound different because it's a different show that we're talking on now.
It is. I can't keep track. It was a very, very strange day for me yesterday with my radio biorhythms all completely screwed up, but it's all good. And we've had a day now to look this over, to talk to people, and to me, it's really, in a lot of ways, refreshing in its simplicity. That we don't have palace intrigue here, and we don't have competing agendas. We have the White Sox deciding that they want to make a managerial upgrade for their rapidly improving team.
Yeah, I think Rick Hahn, the sound that we heard coming in, like the headline for me is trying to get to the next level. Like that's, he said it, and that's adding value in your managerial spot. And that doesn't mean Ricky Renteria wasn't the right guy for all those preceding years. It really doesn't. Like it doesn't have to be an indictment of a human being, because you know I like the guy. And as I said yesterday, there were some strategic things that happened that I wish there were more answers for. So you can, when you can add value, you go and add value. And I, for anybody who thinks that's callous, it's not. Like it's just, it's simply the idea that there's value to be added and you appreciate the heck out of the development that happened and then you move on.
When there is disruption like this, it does allow for the reevaluation of larger processes and systems and paths of communication. And we've heard teams, the Cubs being one of them, who've been transparent about that, who have talked about the larger forces around baseball erasing the boundaries between the dugout and the front office, with everyone operating with the same baseball aesthetic and the same information and understanding what they're doing. Is this a further step to that, especially with both Don Cooper and Ricky Renteria out now? Do you think that there is going to be, regardless of whom the new manager is, a streamlining of those kind of processes in a way that so many teams have done it?
And that's the first thing I thought of when the change got made. And having read MVP Machine, as I know you have and a lot of your listeners have, understanding that when you bring in somebody like Kyle Bodie to Cincinnati, he can't be operating on an island. He can't be doing his own thing, whatever it might be. And then that's kind of cute. And then you go ahead and do everything that you used to do anyway. And so it seems to me that that is one of the goals here, is to have somebody like Jace Tingler, as we were talking about before, who has some front office experience, somebody who at least comprehends in a really major way how to bring all of that together, how to take all of the different pots of information and meld them into a decision-making task force, essentially, is how I think about it. And it seems to me that that would be the aim here for the White Sox.
And then it's a matter of what other hires, because very often, and we are seeing this with the Bulls, it's so easy to draw parallels with the Bulls, is think more, think bigger, think what else. And obviously the new manager is going to have some say in that, but this is an opportunity to re-examine some of these previously held beliefs and ideas. How expansive do you think some of these upgrades can be, especially in the current environment with the revenue and pandemic and everything else?
Yeah, I think there's opportunity, right? Because we heard Ricky Renteria mention in so many post-game press conferences about using his gut and, yeah, taking in information. And it was always like, yeah, taking in information about analytics. And we do use that, but eventually it becomes the gut. And I think that there are some people out there who would describe it in a different way and say, my gut is informed by all of that information. They don't have to be separate compartments. And I think that's what the Rays have done very well. And so I do think there's a substantial opportunity here for the White Sox to drive in that direction. I think it could be a vast change.
Meaning what? Vast extending where and how?
In terms of person A and person B and person C and person D all having similar thrusts of where their minds are going as they look at information, right? Like I think sometimes when you have a staff and a front office, they are a staff and a front office. I think what teams are doing better nowadays are making staff and front office of like mind. And it's not, hey, the lineup is coming down from above. Like I there were some teams when I was in the minors that there was this like very negative taste in people's mouths when they said, well, the manager's not even making the lineup anymore. I think the managers who are doing best for themselves, Kevin Cash is one of them, he's a guy who understands that the front office is giving him a ton of information and helping build a lineup so he can free his mind up to make decisions in game as well. But there's a true, almost dogmatic belief in the analytics from certain managers in baseball. And I think other managers don't have that.
When the manager is hired, if in fact it's AJ Hinch or Alex Cora, what needs to be done both internally and externally to take the question out of it, to take the, and maybe you can't for some people who will have a moral and ethical distaste. There's some who felt that that cheating scandal was a violation of to such a deep level that nobody can walk away untainted, and just they're always going to feel strongly negatively about it. The White Sox have to be aware of that. How could they best own it? How could they best try to turn the page on it and say this is a new man, new team, new time?
I think the answer is like just lay it all out there. Like here's what happened, here's how it happened, here's what I did. And I know it's a horror, not public apology theater, right? Like I hate public apology theater because it's just somebody forced to go ahead and do it. But explaining like what it was, how it happened, and that, you know, like some people are going to have to, everybody would just have to take your word for it. So I don't know that there's a great, like you're not going to sweep this thing under the rug, certainly. But I think the answer is, like the fact that if through the vetting process, the White Sox were to say about either of those guys that they are very comfortable going ahead with this, then I believe that that would indicate that the person is such a very good manager that it was almost impossible to say no to that person's pitch and the way that they carry themselves, which means you've added the value that you want to add.
Do you think that there's anything among players that also needs to be smoothed over. It's one thing for us who are just have opinions about it, or for fans who feel strongly, but I know there were very, very, very angry players, and I don't know if there are any in the White Sox clubhouse that say, look, you did something that went beyond our understanding of what we're supposed to do for each other. You violated an internal credo, not just an external one.
Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance. I do think the Sox have so many young players that I don't know that they have really strong feelings about that because they haven't been around a lot. I think if you were a veteran-laden team, especially with a couple guys who were negatively impacted, let's say, by the scandal, then you might have to deal with that. I don't think the Sox have anybody down those lines. But the one thing it's going to sound like I'm condoning this, but I still don't believe that was the only way of relaying signs that was happening in Major League Baseball.
Right.
I do not believe that. I will never believe that. And I'm not saying, well, they're the ones that got caught, so we're, you know, flambeing them in public. But I also think that, like, it's a little disingenuous for players to say, how outrageous that you would do such a thing. Because I would bet that they've been on a team that's done something of the sort, not with the same sort of clandestine ops, organizationally strategic ideal, but that happens, I believe.
Something I've been thinking about over the last day in regards to Don Cooper had to do with the juxtaposition of Lucas Giolito over this sort of, I don't know if it's semi-retirement, like the twilight of the Don Cooper era that has been concurrent with a different way of understanding pitching. Giolito, so self-aware, so smart, and so active in self-coaching that I almost forgot about Don Cooper. You know, because when you have the pitcher himself talking about his what the measurables are and what they've learned and what you mentioned Kyle Bodie and driveline. We've always heard that hitters say, I'm my own hitting coach. I don't need somebody teaching me how to hit. Somebody can keep me in my routine, tell me when I'm in the cage, maybe an extra set of eyes, but I'm my own hitting coach. Do you think pitchers increasingly are more and more their own pitching coach? Like you say, we've both read the book. We know how not everybody's quite out there like Trevor Bauer, but there's a lot of really smart pitchers who just want the data and can try to fix themselves.
Absolutely. And I think that this is the day of the vigilante coach, right? The individual self-improvement guru. Because when you think about a pitching coach in a major league organization, they got to keep tabs on 50 people and they have organizational pressures and all this stuff. Kyle Bodie can basically say, I want to create fantasy land for people to get better at pitching. Why would you not seek that out? And I think agents are getting smarter down those lines and sort of funneling people that direction and helping connect people who want to work out together and learning those sorts of things. So I think there's a chance that over the next 15, 20 years, we're going to see a revolution in what coaching staffs look like in Major League Baseball. When I was in the minors, Dan, and I know you experienced minor league life as well, there were a lot of coaches who I was around who were absolutely just taking money and did not understand what it means to develop skill sets. It was like, okay, let's go to the cage and hit some balls. But if you read like Dan Coyle's The Talent Code, right, about pockets of people like the Brazilian soccer team who and this voice coach down in Texas who create great athletes or pop singers and just churn them out, like, there is the stuff I believe that Major League Baseball says about revamping the minor leagues, and it's not everything that comes out that I believe, certainly. But minor league baseball has had a gap in individual improvement, and it's been a giant gorge of a gap for years, just in terms of individual focus practice, skill set stuff, pop psychology, Gladwellian, but also founded in fact. There is a big opportunity for baseball to actually develop players more speedily and in a more direct way.
There are people lamenting these large-scale changes to affiliated minor league baseball, and I understand that, and I understand what these teams mean to some of their smaller communities. But my experience with minor league baseball was just really marveling at the inefficiency and the waste and what it really is. And in large part, you know, 95% of minor league baseball players don't matter to the major league team. They're just fodder. They are just there so the handful of material players can work their way up. But it's not an actively managed growth, like you say. I think teams eventually, if we're talking big picture here, maybe the White Sox would be at the start of this. They would be better off paring down the actual minor league competition and adding more labs, having more driveline type laboratories where players are actually, there's targeted development. It isn't just, hey, this guy on his own developed a curveball, or I saw a swing out of that kid at this level I didn't see elsewhere, where you're directing it, where it's actual, it's artificial selection rather than some sort of natural selection where you just say, well, we don't know, we throw them out there. I think it's fascinating to think, like you say, of 15 or 20 years from now, what this is all going to look like.
Yeah, there are just too many misses in the minors. I mean, I was thinking about this when Crochet came up, but some other guys as well. We saw people who would have been deemed not ready in Major League Baseball play totally fine baseball in Major League Baseball games. And I recall very specifically a conversation I had in 2008 in Kinston, North Carolina, with Frank Herrmann, who ended up pitching for the Cleveland Indians. He's a Harvard alum. And Frank Herrmann lamented to me in a pregame interview about how, because he was a 20th, 25th round pick, whatever it was, he just, like, people don't pay attention to him. He was very open and honest. Like, he could walk around with, like, a sprained ankle, and people didn't do nearly as much with his sprained ankle as they did with whoever the high draft pick was. That's a miss, because if you don't get individualized, focused practice, you're not going to make people better. And I do think there is a defeatist sense that happens in minor league players very quickly. And I've always been the opinion, since I understood the minor leagues, that the less you remind people they're in the minors and in a business, and the more you can make it about their own development and their own enjoyment of development, the better off you're going to be and the higher hit rate you're going to have at actually developing talent. But I mean, I wouldn't want to lose all the minor league stories I've got. Like the day that it was like free bread day in Salem, Virginia, and they gave away loaves of bread and there was just like rye strewn all over the parking lot. I don't want to lose that. I think it's hilarious. But, you know, I think we can do better developing people as well.
This is very cool. I didn't know that a White Sox managerial change would result in some big picture discussion of developmental philosophy, but that's where you go with Jason Benetti. Always fun, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.